Everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Football is back. Football is back. Football, it's a Hall of Fame game. We got it. Also, the baseball fan who walked up at the fan festival threw 96 and was signed by the Oakland A's, all with this panel. That panel? Oh, man. May God have mercy on our souls. So what is this? Bob Ryan in his 3,000th career show, and then Rossini show 2, Kaplan show 4, Stugat show 5, and then come on now. We'll get to it all in a second. LeBron, enough is enough. The throne has been played with too much. I ate for horseplay. Ether is coming. Woo! That's LeBron's response. Could it be to David Griffin's comments in Sports Illustrated? I think you all think that's what it is. That building around LeBron in Cleveland was miserable, inorganic, unsustainable. Griffin also, quote, LeBron's getting all the credit, none of the blame, and that's not fun for people. End quote. Today on The Jump, Griffin telling George Sedano and Ramona Shelburne and Dave McMenamin he'd like to set the record straight. This wasn't about LeBron. This was about him, Griffin's inability, and how poorly he dealt with spotlight and scrutiny. Bob Ryan, you read it all. You heard it all. You want in on Griffin's comments or LeBron's ether response?
I'm interested in Griffin because he needed this clarification, because in no place in the lengthy, and it is lengthy, piece did the words media and scrutiny get put together. He never said that. He left it. The implication reading the piece was that somehow, some way, building a team around LeBron James, this individual, was making him miserable. And he did not quite specify how exactly that was. Now he's saying it's the media scrutiny surrounding it. Okay, we can relate to that better. It was very unclear. So I'm glad he did this.
Diana Rossini?
Tone, I'm going to take LeBron on this, and I want to kind of explain to Stu, because I know he doesn't know what ether is. So years ago, Jay-Z put out a diss track to Nas. Nas returned it with ether, and it was so good, Jay couldn't say anything in return. So that's what LeBron's going with. And I think LeBron's definition of ether here, it's what he's going to do out on the court, and I think it's going to be pretty magical this season.
I'll go back to Bob Ryan for Nas versus Jay-Z in a second. First, Stu Gatz.
Rossini, thanks for the clarification there. I needed your help. I appreciate it. I'm going to set the record straight here on David Griffin. 2 years before LeBron came back to the Cavs, 57-107. He also drafted Andrew Wiggins, number one overall, and Anthony Bennett, number one overall. I don't care. He said what he said on the record to a guy who was writing a story about the Pelicans and David Griffin. Don't care what he had to say. The only reason David Griffin is David Griffin today is because of that one miserable year with LeBron James.
So you don't need a clarification. None of it really matters to you. You believe what you believe, no matter what the man said today. Okay.
Well, Tony, hold on, Tony. What I believe here is the reason he left the Heat was because Pat Riley and Mickey Arison would not let him run amok. And the Cavaliers and Dan Gilbert, who's really the one to blame, he was so desperate to get LeBron that he allowed him to do anything he wanted. And David Griffin did not like that.
Okay, do we want to continue with the show, or is it just over now? Is that your FaceTime? Let's go to Emily Kaplan, please.
My thoughts are out on this. Look, David Griffin, when you look at these poll quotes, sounds like somebody who's in a new relationship and can't get over an ex, right? I was miserable with him. He got all the credit. He's a changed person. But actually, this whole story is about, it's a 3,700 piece by Jake Fisher in Sports Illustrated, the narrative arc and personal growth of him as an executive. These are the lessons I learned with LeBron, and these are how I'm going to apply it to my new relationship with Zion. Remember, Zion's been compared to LeBron since he was 14 years old. So I actually think this is healthy. Who has not been in a relationship when it got kind of toxic and you're like, I'm going to take what didn't work there and apply it in a better way on my new relationship.
Griffin said this on The Jump today, that this article was about the Pelicans, and then it became about LeBron. And Griffin, once you bring up LeBron, everything else gets blown out of the water. Let me ask you this, Diana, since you focused on LeBron here. Does he need to respond, or would he be better off not responding because, hello, he's LeBron James, and when he does something, it's going to be enormous?
Sometimes there's strength in being silent. Stu, you should take some notes there. Not saying something can be powerful. And perhaps if LeBron just keeps it on the court, he kind of wins in this. We've seen players, iconic players, great players, Kevin Durant, when they respond, it doesn't work. He doesn't need to. He's LeBron James.
Oh, of course he's going to respond. That word miserable is hanging out there. We're all focusing on it. LeBron wants the world to know, I don't make people miserable. I win championships.
Who guts?
I mean, Tony, listen, he won David Griffin a ring, not the other way around. To remind you, Anthony Bennett, Andrew Wiggins.
Yes, that's yes, you already said that. Well, you don't need to remind us what you just said, Stu Gatz. We were all listening. Go ahead, Emily, last word. We're going to move on.
Just to put a nice bow on my analogy, if your ex is talking smack about you, you be the bigger person.
A nice bow on your analogy.
No, you move on with the new one. You move on and you show that your happiness on social media.
We're going to move on right now. Hall of Fame game. Neither Hall nor Fame. Discuss amongst yourselves, okay? Broncos won 14-10. Let's see what you take away from this one. How about that first challenge, Vic Fangio? Guaranteed challenging defensive pass interference. He lost the challenge, but seeing a challenge for pass interference, Emily, did it make you think this might work?
I have no idea if it's going to work or not, because everybody knows that the preseason is for trying new things, for testing things out. Vic Fangio told us he was going to do it no matter what the play was going to be. It kind of reminds me, you know, they have a shiny new toy they want to play with. When I was a freshman in college, someone got a breathalyzer on our dorm, and everyone wanted to try it out to see if the other kids were drunk or not. We all kind of knew whether you're drunk or not, but you wanted to see and test the limits and like, yeah, can I game the system?
All right, so they're just trying it out to try it out. Stu Gatz, yeah. When you saw it play out yesterday, you think maybe there's a chance this will work in the NFL?
Yeah, maybe for a season, Tony, because it took less than a minute. They apparently got the call right. But the way they do it under 2 minutes, where a referee is just sitting there, and if it's egregious, that's the way they should be doing it the entire game. If it is obvious to a guy who is sitting there watching the game and can slow it down after the play, if he thinks there was contact, then that should be the guy alerting the referees, hey, there was pass interference on that play, or hey, there was no pass interference on that play. So for a season, it will work. But I like the rule the way they do it under 2 minutes better. Better than the way they do it
that
before
be
the 2 minutes.
Rossini, you were shaking your head no when Stu Gatz was answering that.
Well, Stu, it was a minute and 18 seconds, so it wasn't less than a minute. So you add two,
she
three,
went to the clock.
Four of these a game.
What are you taking points away?
It's got to add up. It's got to add up if they keep doing this. But here's the thing. The preseason, it's like a soft opening to a restaurant. You're trying to sort it out. You're trying to feel it out. The refs don't even know what they're really looking at and looking for yet. So they'll figure it all out, and it will be balanced by the time the season
and
starts.
Bob Ryan?
I'm for it.
We're only having this conversation because of one egregious error made last year in an important game. I am telling you that they're going to go through this thing this year, and at least 50% of the time, and maybe more, after the adjudication is made, after the review, people are still going to dispute it. Why? Because the vast percentage of these circumstances are very marginal infractions.
I understand what you're saying.
It's a very debatable, subjective call.
The nuts and bolts
and no
of
one's
it,
going to be happy.
Diana brought up the time. Everybody's so worried about this is going to make the game so much longer. It might be as long as, hello, a college football game now that goes 4 hours. A minute 18, is that too much?
Yeah, for someone like me who's got to cover the games, yeah, it's way too long. It's because you add them up, there's going to be a couple of them.
Bob Ryan,
and before you know it,
too much for you?
No, I could live with 118. 132? No, but 118's okay.
132, no, but 118. Wow, uh-huh. It's amazing that you have an idea. The biological clock is ticking like this for Bob Ryan. Let's talk about Drew Lock. Okay, he got his first NFL action, the rookie for the Broncos. 7 drives, 5 punts, a fumble, a turnover on downs, 87 total yards. That was what the Broncos had in his 7 possessions. Quote, it was the Hall of Fame game. Wasn't the Super Bowl. Wasn't the playoffs. So there's a lot of things for me to learn, a lot of things for me to look forward to. Progress a little bit. Vic Fangio, quote, I was hoping for more, but not surprised, end quote. Diana, your view of Locke's play and of Locke and Fangio's assessment of that play.
John, the only thing that was going to be a lock in this was that it was going to be ugly, because that's exactly what it had to be.
That was a Woody Page show.
Coach,
we're putting you in the cheese
Coach Fangio, I mean, I think the fans expected more from you, too. This kid is your responsibility. If he comes out here and doesn't play well, that falls on you, too. So as quick as you are to stand up there and say, it wasn't very good, I was a little surprised by that, that falls on you. I know you weren't feeling too well, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later, but you need to take some responsibility.
So the words,
guys,
the words are the words.
They've been in training camp for 15 days.
What you saw
That's
on
it.
The field from Locke, Diana, what did you see?
I think he's been in training camp for 2 weeks, and I think he's going to need some time. This is what the preseason is about, getting that practice in. He's going to need more reps. John Elway said it, too. He just needs time out there. I think everyone needs to be a little
Bob
patient
Ryan?
Here.
Well, we can't overreact to a first impression, but we have to say
you
he's
can't.
Got to be better
We've done
than
that
this.
Professionally he's, for about 3,600.
He's got to be better than this. That was a woaful performance. 7 and 11 for 34 yards and dry going nowhere. Absolutely. You're wondering, who drafted this guy? I'm just asking.
Emily Kaplan?
Bob, I talked to the Falcons today, and they said that they were throwing defenses out there that he was not ready for, and they did it on purpose.
Oh, there so you go. That's some actual reporting.
They wanted to win that
Tony,
game.
Her name's not Emily Kaplan, Tony. Her name is not Emily Kaplan.
Emily, you want to add on Diana?
I'm not as good of an NFL reporter as Diana is, but I do have some sources there because I cover the league, and I texted one of my scout friends, and I said,
how?
What were the comparisons of Drew Lock coming out of college? And he said, there's a little bit of Cutler and the gunslinger. He's a little more athletic. He mentioned Goff. He mentioned, okay, there's some arm angles as Mahomes. Obviously, he's not as good. What is the common thing between those three quarterbacks? Their coaches didn't trust them to start right away. They had to adjust to the NFL system. So I'm with Drew Lock here.
Yeah.
It's just the Hall of Fame game.
And the plan isn't for Drew Lock to start out of the gate. We just thought that quote was interesting. Stu, I talked to two reporters who talked to reporters and scouts. Now I talk to you who's talked to, well, who have you talked to here?
Nobody. I go with the Bob Ryan eye test. That's how you do it, Bob. Listen, Vic Fangio wasn't the only guy who wasn't able to pass something last night. Listen, Drew Lock, I don't
now
need that kind of
Now, that's a better line. I prefer that one. That's good. Yeah.
I don't need that kind of condescension from a second-round pick of Drew Lock, who was playing against players who likely won't be in the NFL. And what did he do? He did absolutely nothing. Drew Lock won't have to worry about playing in Super Bowls if he continues to play like this in the preseason.
Right, settle down there, Drew Lock. This first NFL action. This is, I think, your first action where you're actually leading going into buy or sell. 14 for Stu, 14 for Diana, 10 and 10 for Kaplan and Bob Ryan. Buy or sell on the other side. Last question, preseason football or kidney stones? Who you got?
They're both awful and they need to pass.
Preseason football, man. Kidney stones hurt.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Domino's. Order online and track your order. Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
It's buy or sell. It's Kyler Murray indicating he doesn't feel pressure. Quote, I don't feel pressure, end quote. Here's another quote. I got to go out and play well, and if I don't, then people are going to be mad. I'm going to be mad. Everybody's going to be mad. So my focus is play well, end quote. Emily Kaplan, buy or sell Kyler Murray's approach here to his first preseason start next week.
I'm buying the way he's speaking. He sounds like a seasoned vet. That's exactly how I'd want my quarterback to speak. I'm selling that he doesn't actually feel pressure. Of course rookies feel pressure when they're playing up. I feel pressure going up against Bob Ryan.
He has
to feel pressure being the top pick, where it's a team that only has 6 winning seasons since they've been in Arizona since 1988. And Larry Fitzgerald, his own team is giving him pressure.
Sounds like you're putting a lot of pressure on the number one pick here, Emily. Stu Gatz, how about you?
Listen, it doesn't matter whether we buy or sell, Tony. This is what you want your quarterback to tell you as a fan, okay? You want him to say, hey, I don't feel the pressure, even if he feels the pressure. That's what you want the number one overall pick to say. That's what you want the face of the franchise to say. And he has options, Tony. This is a guy with options. If it doesn't work out, baseball.
And it does matter if we buy or sell. So there's a mute for Stu Gatz. Rossini, how about you?
I am buying him for preseason game number one because the Arizona Cardinals, they are going to make sure everything he does is successful out on the field. He's facing a vanilla defense. He better be able to go out there and be successful at this point. What he should be doing, though, is collecting all the experience from these games and get ready for the real pressure, which is week one against the Lions.
Everything you just said about his first preseason game, apply that to what you said about Drew Lock earlier. Okay, how about you, Bob Ryan?
When it comes to athletes, there's them and there's us. And one of the characteristics of them over the years, no matter what sport, is they will tell you that they don't care about outside pressure. Quote, nobody puts more pressure on me than me. I think that's exactly what he's saying. That's who he is, and that's who they are, and that's that.
Okay, that was the record for longest quote fingers in around the horn history. We'll move on. Baseball law and order. Suspensions coming out of the Red Pirates brawl. 10 for Kella throwing it ahead. 8 for Garrett charging an entire team. 6 for Reds manager David Bell for escalation, even though he went down the escalator, subterranean. 5 for Osuna for brawling. 3 for Crick for brawling. Hughes gets 3 for up and in. Puig gets 3 for Puiging. And Pirates manager Clint Hurdle, 2. Stu, did baseball get this right?
Baseball seems to be making this up as they go along, Tony, and they don't want to get rid of it. 10 games doesn't feel like enough for a guy who intentionally threw a hard ball at someone's head, and 8 games feels like too much for a guy defending his teammate because someone intentionally threw a hard ball at his teammate's head. Baseball wants this in the news because it's the only time we talk about baseball. These are two of the worst teams in baseball. We're not talking about the good teams. We're talking about the bad teams.
Rossini?
I'm with Stu Gatz on this, shockingly, but I think that what they need to do is publicize these fines, right? So we don't even know how much these guys are getting fined. Find the players, find the managers, and go get those owners. That'll clean up these fees.
Bob Ryan.
This goes back to an incident that took place on April 7th when styling around the bases upset the Pirates. This is something baseball has indulged for well over 100 years, maybe 150 years, and it's got to stop. They've got to address it. But I think the punishments were surprisingly good, and what I liked most was that the relief pitchers got the amount of
games. So you like the suspensions. You wouldn't think publicizing the fines, like Diana said, would maybe get to the pocketbook a little bit more.
That certainly can't hurt.
Emily Kaplan?
Yeah, I disagree with Stu Gatz. I think 10 games is a lot for a relief pitcher.
Disagree with Stu Gatz.
I do agree, though, that it's very inconsistent with it. Like, how does he get 10 games when he admits that he intentionally hit him? But Garrett, who's running at the other team, only gets 8. I think that's a little inconsistent.
Stu, I think you said earlier you wanted what to do with the unwritten rules?
How about we take the unwritten rules and we actually write them down? And Emily, go take a baseball and throw it at someone's head when we leave the show and see if you just get 10 games. You're going to go to jail. What are you talking about?
Buy or sell 3, best story in the show. A fan at a Rockies game in the Clock Your Speed booth throwing 94, 95, 96. The A's have signed Nathan Patterson to a minor league contract. Diana, do you buy or sell the A's scouting system here?
Tony, you know where Justin Bieber was discovered? YouTube. How about Carrie Underwood? Some singing game. It doesn't matter how you got there. You got there. Someone once told me, if your ship doesn't come into your port, dive in the water and go swim to it. And that's exactly what this kid is doing. I'm his number one fan right now.
Bob Ryan?
In the not-too-distant past, the Kansas City Royals had a thing called the Baseball Academy in which they took athletes and tried to manufacture them into baseball players. They actually got one out of it for sure, Frank White. This is not all that different. So what the hell?
Emily Kaplan?
Diana, he wasn't discovered by this Twitter video. They've been talking to him since February. They just signed him after this Twitter video. I don't know. I'm a little bit skeptical. I wonder if this came from the scouting office or the business office because it sounds like a really good movie that they could sell an option.
Oh, that's absolutely true. 23-year-old.
Yeah, Emily, speaking of movies, you know, Blockbuster once passed on Netflix. Look how that turned out. This could be the Netflix of baseball.
Ah, what is this? What is this? Business wars here? Very nice. Is that Stu? Can you get a word in edgewise or what?
I don't know. I mean, Rossini, don't let facts get in the way. I'm proud of you. That is a very good job out of you. But here's the thing. Tony, Billy Beane and the Oakland A's are like Bill Belichick and the Patriots, where if Belichick and the Patriots were to do this, we would all praise them and think the guy's going to be the Hall of Fame. And Billy Beane has arrived at that point, where if they take a guy off the scrap heap, I have a feeling Billy Beane will turn him into a Major League awesome.
That's so great. I mean, he didn't play in college. He only played in high school. It's been 5 years from now. All right, Shark Tank broke out there with Stu Gatz and Rossini. We're going to say goodbye to Emily Kaplan and Bob Ryan right now. And this showdown is like an immovable object versus an unstoppable piece of tighty-whities that is hanging in the breeze on the clothesline. Or something like that.
What?
That's you, Stu. Showdown next.
Yeah!
Home. It's so much more than a house.
There's Crispy. And then there's Crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
That's Diana Rossini in Showdown. May God have mercy on our souls. Showdown one, whether John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson are on the same page. QB told Rich Eisen he doesn't think he'll be running as much this year. Coach told Inside Training Camp Live he'd take the over Jackson running more this year. Stu, who you got, the coach or the QB?
I got the guy who's got the ball in his hand, Tony, if we're actually betting on this. Like, I got the guy who has the ball in his hand because he controls how much he's going to run. And if he says he's not going to run as much, I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson. John Harbaugh can put in plays to have him run all he wants.
John Harbaugh is not game of tipping his hand here. John Harbaugh does not want to show what he's going to do. He's bluffing. So, Stu, I actually agree with you on this. Lamar Jackson, he's saying it how it is.
Actually agree, both the way you delivered it and also the fact that you just agreed with somebody in Showdown, which is tactically not a great move, Rossini. Point got. We'll move on. Showdown three. We'll call it Showdown two. The way Jeff McNeil used the netting to make this catch in foul territory. Fair or foul, Diana?
It's fair. His nickname is the Squirrel. He looks like a Spider-Man out there. Forget Let's Go Mets. Let's go Nets. Look how awesome this is. Look how much fun this makes baseball. It's just a nice little fun element. Little net gem.
I want nets in every single baseball stadium. I want players jumping into nets. I don't care. That is fun. I want guys jumping into nets, and then the net goes back and propels them back into the field to play. Baseball needs to be more fun. That looked fun, and the fans were safe. Hey!
What's fun now? 30 seconds of FaceTime for Stu Gatz.
Come on.
All right, let me transition here, Tony, to something really serious, near and dear to my heart. Nick Bonacani passed away this past week, and we had Mark Bonacani, his son, on the show today, who is paralyzed. This is a wonderful family. Nick was a wonderful man. The Miami Project, the Miami Fund to Cure Paralysis, is Nick's finest work, and I'm talking about a guy who did a lot of great work on the field. He is a Hall of Fame player as we head into Hall of Fame weekend. But Nick Bonacani and the Bonacani family, they are Hall of Fame people, and they continue to do amazing work. And I have a friend, Alan Brown, who never should have lived as long as he's lived, but he has because of Nick Bonacani, 20 years further than he should have.
Incredible. Thank you so much for sharing, Stu Gatz. We're on a weekend, 71.5-hour break. We'll see you Monday.